Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. President's Day. It's a holiday. I don't know why. Yes, it's amazing these holidays. You know, the markets are like kind of open. They're open electronically, but they're not open in the pits. So why have them open electronically? And banks are some are closed, some are open. I don't know. I get so confused on these holidays. I don't know where the hell I'm at, but I am here. So that's always a good thing. And of course, the markets continue to push higher in spite of everything. The experts, the pundits, the world is bullish. And we are probably never going down again as we continue to see that massive push to the upside. And, of course, they say that we're going to get 4% growth, and I say BS. And they say that we're going to get all this other great stuff, and I say BS. And, again, some of it can be done, but I believe that anything that's going to have to go to a vote will not be done so easily. I think, and I'm, in my opinion, I do think Trump has done a good job. I think that he's done a lot of things he can do. The man works like a mule. It's incredible to watch. But of course, we know that even his own Republican Party is going to give him some resistance, as we've seen through other things that are much simpler. And of course, so I don't know that everything can get done so fast. I do think that he'll get some things done eventually. But I think the market itself is pricing in perfection now. And, you know, if we just put the statistics together, okay, and we go, okay, well, if we think we're going to get 4% growth, which, again, I say BS for at least 2 years, well, how are we going to get there, all right? How are we going to get there now? And we're not. So, but yet the markets are believers. And, of course, this is a very typical sign that the markets themselves – okay, that are way ahead of themselves. This is a very typical sign of the euphoria. Okay, and if you remember the old saying, bull markets are born on pessimism, thrive on optimism, and end on euphoria. I would say that we're somewhere in the stage of euphoria. You know, how far? I don't know. Okay, again, I'm not going to try to predict the top of the market. I can tell you that I don't like the market here. Now, again, all that being said, I have not sold any of my long-term stocks, which I will not sell anyways, but I'm not selling. I'm not recommending selling here, but I am recommending watching and being very cautious and very careful as to, you know, what can happen. But I will say this, that even when it does happen, and it will happen, you will have plenty of time to either hedge or reverse out if you're not already hedged. Hopefully you are hedged. You won't have to suffer anything. But if you're not, you will have time to adjust your portfolio. You know, if we go back to, you know, every major collapse basically has given you an opportunity to get out. But what happens is of course, the first sell-off, the dip buyers come back in, and then the second sell-off, they come in again, and eventually they keep making lower highs, and then the market just fall apart. But overall, there's just, you know, so many things ahead, and, you know, we see just an enormous amount of potential problems out there. Now, markets have been able to shrug off any potential problems so far, and I'm not saying that they will not be able to do so now. What I'm saying to you now is that there could be something coming besides what we already know, and that would be a particular problem that could create the selling. I think you're seeing too many people jumping into the market now that were not in before. That could be a potential problem. So there are certainly enough warning signs out there telling you that we could be, you know, near the end. Again, we're not going to predict the top. It's just not what we do. I mean, we're more observing. And I think that's one of the things you should be concerned about is the observation. And most people have trouble doing that because they want to be active. But, you know, sometimes you just have to watch. I mean, you know, you've got some weird dude things happening going on in these markets. And, you know, I'm not going to try to predict. I do know that, you know, volatility was starting to rise a little bit at the end of last week. And, you know, that's typically a sign that we're getting near. So I do think we're very, very close or very near the end. And I think it's just, you know, how you're going to play it from here. But that would not prevent me from, if I saw a stock that was at what I felt was at a reasonable level that I would buy, I'd buy it anyways. Okay. Just like I would sell something anyways, even though I'm not calling for a top of the market. But I think you have seen some pretty big explosions that will, you know, tone down here pretty soon. And I think you're going to see, you know, at some point we will have another sell-off, another correction. And nobody knows when that will be, but it might even tie in with Snapchat, you know, another big IPO. Who knows? But I think that what you are seeing is that the overall system is trying to work, and you've gotten every single expert as well as every single TV commentator cheerleading away and hoping and praying that the markets keep going up and it makes good theater. And certainly, you know, people like looking at their 401ks and IRAs. Now, of course, I recommend you don't look at them because, again, you don't want to be turning those into a trading account. You want to just let it grow. But, you know, there's a lot of worries out there. And again, I ask the simple question is, what's going to happen with the debt? Okay. There's $19 trillion in debt that's unaccounted for that's got to be paid back somehow, unless we continue to try to get inflation and we'll let the poor us poor schmucks, the middle class, pay it back again, as always. I think that the banks are in more trouble than anybody would care to admit. You know, I think that you're seeing a lot of problems. I think you're starting to see a lot of auto loans default. Now you say, well, so big deal. Well, it is a big deal when you trapped in, you know, a lot of people, as I've said many times in the show, is that I believe that the auto companies have sold their have mortgaged their future to sell now, and you're starting to see a lot of default. I mean, you know, I think that could be a problem. I think the retail business, although they had a good report last week, I mean, I don't know, if you've driven around and go by somebody's shopping centers, they're all empty, okay? Now, again, I don't know, the sales are not necessarily going away because obviously you've got Amazon who's doing gangbusters, but think about all the people that aren't working that used to work in those malls. Think about all the rent that they're not paying to the landlords. You know, there's a whole, you know, it's not just the sales part of it. It's the whole chain or the velocity of money that has to go from one to another. Well, with the mall closed, there is no more velocity of money and somebody else is just taking a bigger tax write off. Okay. And I think that is something that, you know, you just have to, you know, think about as you watch this and, you know, as we watch this unfold. I mean, like I said, I see stores empty, empty, empty. Everywhere I go, there's a whole strip mall that's empty. And again, not that we didn't know that that might be coming, but there's a lot of dough sunk in there. There's a lot of investors that are sunk in there. And where are they going to go? Those are not exactly liquid. You know, you're not exactly going to sell that strip center tomorrow. All right. But in the meantime, the taxes still got to be paid. The maintenance has still got to be paid. And, you know, so it becomes a drag instead of a place where you actually generate some income or money. It now becomes a drag. And, you know, those are not good situations that we're seeing built among us. And that's something that has to be, you know, understood as a investor, understood as a citizen, understood as a person who's continuing to watch this market go higher, that there's a lot of issues out there that have to be solved. Okay. Jobs, debt, banking like regulations, the banks that probably don't have enough money in reserve. I mean, again, we think that everything is hunky dory. And I say, hey, you know, I'm not saying that we're not, but I'm just saying, I'll be careful. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm will allow you to download the show every single day. And of course, The Sporting Edge on the weekends and our brand new Bubba's Bottom Line podcast, which comes out once a week at BubbaTrading.com. Go check that out. In the meantime, I am going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be back with Jane King after the break. The Bubba Show President's Day. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
All right, boys, follow me.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the extremely talented, traveling around the world, Jane King, Lila Mex meeting the Kitchen Report. What's up, Jane King?
Oh, just, you know, hanging out, getting ready to go to Boston and Rhode Island. So, you know, have a little nice weekend in the Northeast.
And the Boston and Rhode Island, and of course, you've got stations up there as well. And you're the woman about town and the reporter about town. And what's your take of what the hell's going on with all this stuff with the political landscape we're watching? With every day there's something new that is never anything positive.
No. Well, first of all, there's so much going on, and it's constantly changing that it's really hard to keep up with everything. But the press conference that the president did, the first solo one, was fascinating to watch. I mean, I was going to grab some, you know, popcorn and sit and watch it because it was just so interesting. And I actually watched it on YouTube because I was sleeping when it was going on. I took a nap in the afternoon because I wake up so early. And I had seen the headlines first, and all the headlines were like bashing the media and picks on an African-American reporter. And I was like, okay, I need to just watch the whole thing. Because I've learned over the years that whether it's a debate or a press conference, you just have to watch it yourself, even if it's playing in the background while you're doing other stuff. And then you really get a sense of what really happened. Because if you just read the headlines, it just seems like Trump was so mean and picked on people and was a racist and really didn't do anything productive besides just criticize things. And actually, if you watched it, there was some positive things in there. He talked about some Obamacare, that Republicans are close to changing that. He talked about some other, you know, he introduced his labor secretary. I mean, none of that got covered, but all the criticisms and negative stuff did. But I guess it's, that's the world we live in. We should be used to it.
No, I understand. It's just I'd like to have one day of peace without it. You know, I'd like to have one day we can just go by and let things go on. And of course, the stock markets have been unbelievably on fire. And I guess the question I want to ask you being in the business and, you know, Bloomberg and the whole world and your own show, and can this market continue to push higher on really an air pocket? I mean, there is nothing new other than promises that will be delivered that we're going to be better. But we still have the problem with jobs. We still have the problem with the debt. We still have a ton of other problems that are out there. And we're basically, I guess, rallying on the hope and promises of what Trump's going to do. And I'm a Trump fan. I'm a believer. But I mean, can this market continue at this pace with on a hope and a prayer?
Well, I think, you know, we've seen, and it'll probably go in phases, I would imagine. So what we saw immediately after the election was everybody kind of repositioning themselves. Most people expected a Democrat president and had been preparing for that. And then all of a sudden, that's not what happened. And we had to readjust to a new reality of lower regulations and lower taxes, which is what he promised. And so far, he's doing what he promised. I mean, everybody seems surprised by that, but none of this is like, he talked about all of this during the election. And then I think the next phase will be, let's see what we actually get. And hopefully that'll be before the summer, that we actually can see the tax cut reform, what's going to happen there, the regulations. And then we could see another push higher. And the longer term stuff you're talking about, like the jobs and all that, I mean, that's something that's going to take longer time. I mean, that's going to require education reform. And that's going to be, you know, maybe something that we see 15, 20 years down the road. But I think if we can really put some of these things in place, other people will see they work. When government steps away from business, lets business kind of operate, there's a reasonable amount of regulation to make sure people, you know, are safe. And we don't want to be China. We don't want pollution everywhere and people putting, you know, plastic in for rice and things like that, which happened. But, you know, once we have reasonable regulations and taxes that let people kind of innovate and move and grow, and I think we're going to see a long-term, I mean, this could be a great 25 years for the United States.
I mean, I hope so. I hope it's right in this. I'm a believer. I just don't, I'm not a believer now in the equity markets. I'm a believer in the economy. I'm a believer in what's going to happen. But I cannot imagine that we can continue to push higher. And to me, this just looks like they're walking down the poor small little retail investor down that path again, that they're letting them load up here at the absolute, you know, in my opinion, the absolute tops of the market. I mean, valuations are already high, and that's with interest rates at basically still zero, which if they continue to go up, that's going to change a lot of those dynamics. I don't see, you know, a lot of positive signs for the equity markets. Now, of course, the equity markets have been up for 8 years on lousy data, so I guess they could go up another 8 years on lousy data, right?
Well, a lot of it, of course, as we have learned, depends on what's going on in the rest of the world. And as long as Europe kind of just wallows and let no growth, you know, money will continue to come here. I think it just, you know, I think it all depends. I was talking to somebody yesterday, a big REIT investor, and asked him about interest rates. And he was like, I think we're going to get growth. And I think that the interest rates increase is going to, the growth is going to outweigh that. I mean, he's a believer, and especially some undervalued real estate. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't think it's been an amazing run. I mean, the Dow up 6-7 days in a row. I mean, that doesn't happen very often at all. So just a standard deviation shows that we're going to have, you know, a correction. But I think it's going to be pretty shallow. We'll see what happens.
No, I mean, again, I'm not, listen, I'm a long-term investor myself, right? I mean, I own equities. I'm always long the market, you know, in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I use hedging methods to protect it, but I don't sell stocks, nor do I move from, you know, defensive. I don't try to move around trying to pick the best sector. I'm just saying that from a standpoint, you know, from a average investor, they get panicked out because typically they overinvest and they need the money and they have to get out. And I just think that we're setting up for another one of those types of situations. I mean, I know that the commitment of traders and all the commercial traders are massively short right here and continuing to sell without thinking about it. And, you know, volatility is at 12-year lows. And if we break the 12-year lows, it's all-time lows. So, I mean, things are setting up that we're just way too complacent here. Do you see that?
Well, I think, you know, what the kind of old rule of thumb is when, you know, everybody's talking about the stock market, it's probably time to sell, and we're getting there. I mean, it's Dow 20,000, 6 days up in a row. I mean, I talk to local news, so I kind of have a sense of where mainstream America is when it comes to the stock market. And everybody this week wanted the story of record highs as their lead story. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly some caution to be placed here. But I think in the long term, I mean, I think we're going to be okay. You know, I have a 401k from one of my old employers, and I looked at that for the first time throughout the past year. I hadn't looked at it in years. And I looked at it for the first time over this last couple of days. And I mean, it's amazing what it's done. I mean, last time I looked at it was when we were trying to refinance our apartment, and I was getting together documents. And I mean, it was really nice to see that.
No, it is amazing. And, you know, I mean, again, I mean, like I said, I'm a long-term bull. I mean, investor. I mean, the market goes up 9% year over year, just not every year. But there are some ebbs and flows. And, of course, now it's interesting how we're seeing some shifting now into your homeland, the commodity space. And all of a sudden, the grains are now in vogue and in demand. Have you heard anything about what's going on out there?
No, I haven't really. You know, we've seen, you know, oil start to bounce back a little bit. I mean, if we can get the global economy going again, I mean, that's going to be terrific for the commodities. So maybe that's what the market's preparing for. They think the lows have been hit and they're positioning for some global growth in the next 1 to 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's your short term and long term forecast? Let's get it from the person herself, Jane King.
Okay, so I think for the next 6 weeks, the market's going to settle down and maybe even have a slight correction. But then I think as we head into the summer, we're going to see perhaps new highs in the markets, and then going to end the year a little bit calmer.
And those are the words, according to Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report, all about great, brings great stuff to the show. Jane, thanks so much, and I hope you have a great time in Boston.
Thanks, Todd.
Take care, honey. And that was our friend Jane King, the All About the World media on from coast to coast. And, of course, she always brings good points to the show. And, you know, there you go. There's a Midwesterner and that gets the big picture. And, of course, now a New Yorker, but does get the big picture about the economy and about the political system. And, you know, got to give her due. And, of course, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we want you to encourage you to download the show every single day. at libertytalk.fm. You can also get the Sporting Edge there that is now being run and hosted by Xander. In the meantime, we also are doing Bubba's Bottom Line, which is a weekly podcast, which you can get at bubbatrading.com. What we're going to do now is we're going to step out here for break. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we're going to come back after the break with our technical analyst, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, will be right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and the ace number one financial technical analyst for the Bubba Show. So what's up, Mr. Demeter?
I'm doing good. How about you, Todd?
Doing all right. So today is a holiday. It's President's Day, and I guess we'll still have new highs, right? Because we've not had, I think, 10 or 11 out of the last 12 days have been all-time new highs. And, of course, you did say we're going to make new highs, and here we are. So are we still going to make new highs?
A little bit more. A little bit more. I think, you know, we're still in grind higher mode, but not – you know, I have some interesting levels. The Dow should be pretty much done. I mean, it has a little bit left of the upside, but I'm looking at less than 1%. Russell 2000 is pretty much the same story. The S&P and NASDAQ are a little bit harder to figure out. NASDAQ is looking like 2.5% more. NASDAQ 100 is probably about 4% more. S&P, there's resistance levels that I'm looking at all the way up to 2405. And 2405 is where I was looking for a major top. But that doesn't make a lot of sense because, you know, we're looking at the Dow almost done, and S&P, you know, that's another, you know, 2.3%, something like that. So it may terminate sooner than I originally thought.
Or it may go on longer, right?
Yeah. It's possible. It's possible. But I, you know, the S&P for me is a question mark right now, but I would say Dow and Russell are pretty much done.
Now, you know, last week at the end of the week, there was the markets were higher, and yet the VIX was higher, which is not normally the case, and that does sometimes indicate that the rally is coming to an end. But does it? I mean, it wasn't up like it was up huge, so it wasn't like great. But you would have expected to see the VIX to hit, you know, all time lows. Is that any shock to you?
Yeah, it was kind of strange. I mean, you know, seeing the VIX up on days where the market was also up, since they had for a few days, they had a positive correlation. They usually have a, you know, almost totally inverse correlation. But there were some rumors about somebody had been selling a lot of S&P calls and that they were getting blown up and they were a big fund or something like that. I heard that.
That is true, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know if that was true or not.
I have confirmation that is true, and that could be a very real reason why the markets continue to rally here, because this particular individual is short the limits, thousands and thousands of calls. He did a lot of 1-by-3s, sold 3s and bought 1s, and of course, all of a sudden, we're getting to that point, and you know, when you keep pushing up, you're getting the tap on the shoulder from the clearing firm. So it's been pretty, ugly, and it's hard, you know. And when the whole floor, you know, it's not like it used to be, you know, where the floor was liquid. You know, now everybody knows exactly what he's got, and they know exactly what he's doing. So they're kind of jamming it up as a, you know what.
Right. Yeah. So he's being forced to covering his situation. Yeah. And also, this past, you know, Wednesday was a VIX expiration date. And, you know, it's when we have very low VIX, when we go into a Tuesday, Wednesday, we tend to pop up a little bit. And my thinking is that that's market makers having sold a bunch of cheap VIX puts, they need to get out of the money. So maybe the combination of those two things, you know, is what's behind the VIX moving up when it really normally wouldn't.
It could be. I mean, again, you know, it's hard to tell. I mean, the markets are in such a stall. I mean, again, they're going higher, and I'm not debating that issue. But, I mean, they're really just, there's really not enough intraday price volatility. I guess would you call it the average true range is way below now, and which obviously makes it a much bigger challenge. I mean, investors love this kind of action because they don't wake up and find out that the Dow's down 1,000, but traders hate it because there's just not enough movement in both sides. I mean, traders don't really necessarily care up or down. They just need movement. And of course, there's really been no real movement over the last, I don't know, I can't remember last time, I don't know, 10 or 12 weeks now. What do you think?
I know, I agree. I mean, it's been all yin and no yang. You know, it's been just a little bit higher every day, a little bit of a grind higher. And, you know, yeah, it's great for your average investor. But yeah, I agree 100%. Traders, this is kind of murder. You know, one way to deal with it, I know, you know, you deal with it with options. You can, you know, make money from time decay and, you know, from various setups that you can do. That's one way to deal with it. The other is just you know, wait it out, and I think we're going to get some you know, volatility. I mean, I've been saying that for a while, but I think, you know, we're approaching my targets. Like I said, Dow is less than 0.5% to less than 1% to my target. So I think we're you know, it will be over soon.
So would you be comfortable shorting right here, or are you already short?
Already short. And I am comfortable shorting specifically the Russell 2000.
Well, and, you've been on that for a while.
And a Dow. Those two indices, I think. We just added the Dow last week. Once we got up to about 20,620, something like that, is when we got short. So, I anticipate a little bit more pain, maybe about another 100 points of pain and maybe 200 points. And then I think we're looking at a correction.
All right, and then now, in your eyes, I believe we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but you're not looking for a big correction, but a moderate correction. Is that correct?
I think, I think moderate. You know, I think we're going to give up most, if not all, of the, you know, the post-election gains.
Well, that's a pretty good. That's about a 10%, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what we're calling, you know, significant. But you know, this market's run so hard for so long. You know, we're just talking about giving up the past 3 months, but that is, yeah, it is a lot.
No, I mean, it's been rather wild. Now, what's the commitment of traders reports look like right now?
Well, the commercials are still have fairly significant bearish positions on in all the indices. They actually, it was surprising on this move up, they actually covered a little bit. They covered the most the NASDAQ. And that makes sense to me because I think the NASDAQ, I've been saying it for a while, I think it has the most upside remaining. They covered a little bit, but not, you know, not anything worth writing home about. The only index that they sold additional futures was Russell 2000. And again, that kind of fits with my perspective as well. In terms of volatility futures, which we talk a lot about, they basically maintained their large positions. Not like they were selling off their long VIX position. They still have a massive long VIX position. So, you know, that again, at some point, either they can just keep losing money on those positions or they're going to make them work for them. So,
well, again, but you look at those, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously volatility is low, but if they've been buying down here, I mean, they're not exactly getting creamed, right? I mean, it's not like you're short of the Dow, you know, at 2,000, you know, or at 19,000. Now it's 21,000 almost, or short in the S&P at, you know, 2,100, and it's now at almost 2,400. I mean, so, you know, the VIX futures, I mean, they haven't exactly gotten collapsed either, right? I mean, if you've been buying down here, I mean, don't get me wrong, nobody wants to lose money, but it's not like they're getting crippled either.
Right. Well, I mean, it's probably some difference in the fact that, you know, the futures, you know, decay similar to, you know, options do. So if they have to keep rolling forward, they're losing some money every month just holding on. You know, even if the VIX doesn't go any lower, they still lose. So I would figure at some point, you know, they'd be tired of that. And they'd you know, if they have the power to, you know, jack volatility up, then
they will. I mean, I think it's going to jack by itself. I mean, I really look at this market as the end of the getting the rest of the poor guys in. You know, the retailers, the guys who missed the entire move now are jumping in, and of course, they're getting help from our good old friends at some of the banks that are saying, "Hey, it's time to buy," and even though they're selling, right? I mean, it's kind of interesting how that works out. What do you think?
In terms of the what banks are saying on one hand, what they're doing on the other?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've done that for years. I mean, you know, that is known as spoofing. I mean, I use that term, and yeah. You know, Hillary Clinton had a big heart attack about it one time. But at the end of the day, you spoof every walk of life, every day of your life, you're spoofing something. I mean, if you're selling your house, you're not saying, "Well, my house is a piece of crap, I don't want to sell it." You're trying to make people pay more money for it. I mean, that's just a pretty simple process, isn't it?
Right. No, I mean, I agree. I do think it's funny, you know, how they seems disingenuous. You know, often what they say on one hand, what they're doing with the other. So,
I mean, listen, you know, I trade on the floor. That was, you know, they would send in two brokers. And the small guy would be doing one side to get the pit going. And then on the other side of the pit, the big order was the opposite. So, you know, this is no, you know, listen, I've said this on TV many, many times, you know, when they tell you that that oil's going down to 25, that means they're buying. They're looking to get some selling right. So they can step in and buy it. And now they called up higher. They're looking to sell it now. I mean, I don't think there's any question in my mind. Do you have, I mean, I know you don't have the privy of that information. I mean, I traded against it, so I get it. But what about you? Think anything about that?
Well, you know, I don't pay attention to a lot of their calls. I try to tune out, you know, those sorts of things, and I put CNBC on mute. But they are, like, for example, they are heavily short oil right now. The banks are, and it would not surprise me if they said, "Oh yeah, we're looking for mid-60s or something like that."
We're looking back for 100. This is
back to 100. Yeah,
this is the Bubba Show. This is Matt Demeter, the Bubba Show expert, technical analysis, his own private methods. And, of course, this is the Bubba Show. Go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download their show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, our brand-new Bubba's Bottom Line, which is a weekly podcast done video style for you, so you can actually watch me when I'm ranting and raving. Check that out at bubbatrading.com. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with more from Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the Bubba Show expert, technical analyst, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. So, Matt, you mentioned before the break that banks are selling oil. Now, based on our conversation over the last few weeks, you should be about ready to start shorting oil as well. But the way I look, if we continue that 10 cents a down per chart, right? What are you doing in oil right now?
Right. Yeah. No, we're short oil now. It's still a relatively small position, but I'm looking for, you know, it's just chopping sideways and just as such a you know, sort of frustrating sort of sideways action. But, you know, a little more upside, and we'll start shorting some more. And at this point now, we're just going to short incrementally on strength. I don't have a whole lot of there's not a whole lot of upside left. And, you know, my line in this case, my line might be stretched a little bit. The one that we have at about, it's about 54.70 or something like that right now. And, that's adjusting for April futures, but, that's where I'm expecting a top. It could press it a little bit further. The thing is, what I'm seeing in the indicators is that there's maybe a little bit more room than that. But it doesn't really matter to me. We're going to be shorting into that on any strength.
Oh, so you do take into consideration the premium that gets added back in when they roll the futures of the contango portion.
Yeah, that's the problem I hate about with futures contracts is that they every time they roll, it changes the chart slightly, and I have to adjust all my prices. But we're still looking for a little bit more, a little more upside, maybe another dollar's worth, and that's where we're going to add additional short exposure. We're already short; just a question of, you know.
You're looking to short more. I mean, I get it. You're looking to build the position, and you know, you didn't want to miss it, so you took a small position, but now you're looking to get potentially shorter, which makes sense. I mean, you're building it, but you're more of a position guy. You're not an active trader. I mean, you might take an active trade if it just popped right away, but overall, you're more of a you're building a position based on the long-term technicals, yes?
Yes, that's right. And also based upon what, you know, the commercials are doing. I like it when the technicals and the COT reports line up. I like to see what, that the commercials are doing the same thing that we're doing. And if we're doing the opposite, a few times I'll, you know, the price patterns will be so strong, I'll say, screw it, you know, that we're going to go with, you know, we're always going to go, we'll go against the commercials, you know, at times like we did with the pound. When before Brexit, you know, I was saying to our subscribers, look, you know, the pound is going down. It's not, you know, after Brexit, or maybe not after Brexit. I don't know when, but the point is, pound is not going up any further. It's going down. So, you know, the commercials at that point were heavily long, and they took it hard. Most of the time, we want to be doing the same thing that the commercials are doing, and in this case, they are heavily short oil, and it's now at a record level. 526,000 contracts short versus 2 years ago, their last record high, I think it was 490,000. So we're about 20, 30,000 contracts more short now than we were when it was over $100 a barrel.
Yeah, but you had no problem helping those commercials out when you're buying that pound on the break, though. I know that. That was one of your big calls, buying the pound at the bottom.
That's right. That's right. We said that well in advance. We said that we were looking for about 120, 122. We got in 122, and you know, we still it's been taking a long time to play out, but we still expect it to do pretty well.
I mean, I think it'll have, you know, I think the end of last week I thought was interesting. You know, the currency had made a pretty nice reversal on, I think, Thursday, and then Friday they kind of reversed back the other way. But it looks like they want to try to go higher. And what are you thinking about the currencies right now?
Well, it's interesting with there's some cross currents going on. If you look at commercials versus banks, because there's, you know, different categories within the commercial category. There's banks versus other commercials, and the banks are long. They're long euro. They're long pound heavily. They're long most of the non-dollar currencies, and then they're heavily short dollar futures. So to me, that all makes sense. It means that we should be doing the same thing. My charts agree. We should be long most currencies and short the dollar. In particular, like the pound, also like the euro. We got below we got down into the 105s again last week in euro. So we took that opportunity to get long again. So yeah, we're short dollars, long euro, long pound, and we also like the yen too. We're long yen.
Okay, and then now you had made a big call quite a while ago about the bear market starting in the bonds, and then a couple of weeks ago you started talking about the TLT or the bond market having at least a spike rally here at some point. And of course, we haven't had the spike rally yet, but we certainly have had a real solid hold and actually started to make some higher lows here over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And are you still looking for that rally in the bond futures or in the TLT?
Yeah, I still am. You know, again, go back to commercials. Commercials have changed their positioning too. They were heavily short at Treasury market at the top, and now they're heavily long. And, you know, my chart is saying, you know, we might chop around here, consolidate a little bit longer, might even dip a little bit lower. But I'm not real concerned about that. I think we're looking for a pretty good rally, and that, you know, that fits with, you know, my anticipation that we're going to get a stock market sell-off and then a flight to safety, you know, back to treasuries.
And then, of course, in the grain markets, and you know, you've been somewhat bearish, you know, corn and soybeans, and they'd both pushed right up to, I think, pretty good solid resistance levels, and both turned around pretty good. I mean, corn broke at the end of the week last week about 12 cents, and soybeans broke about, about 35 cents at the end of the week. And then the one that we like, which is wheat was doing great, and then they had a major, like, key reversal on Thursday afternoon and got punished the week, but still closed up much stronger and better than the rest. What's your thoughts on those markets right now?
Well, I'm still, you know, yeah, I'm still bearish corn and soybeans. I still think that they haven't made bear market bottoms yet, so therefore this rally was one to sell. We did hit resistance levels that I had, so there's, and I wouldn't really expect we could go a little bit higher, like a little, you know, very. I had a little bit left, a little bit room left in JJG, actually, that ETF. I had a little bit more, and that's just a whole grain complex that it could have gone a little higher, but basically, I think we're looking at a down in all of them, you know, and like you said, I'm more relatively more bullish of wheat, so I think wheat will probably fall, but it won't fall as much as the other two.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks like it I mean, look, I still like it. I mean, I okay. still think it's going a lot higher. I've actually said on air that I think it's going to go to over five this year. Wouldn't surprise me to have a little sell for it. I mean, it's had an awfully big rally. I mean, if you look at the low from 381 to the high of 460, it's a pretty good move. What's your take in the cattle and in the hog markets? Hogs, you know, had a little bit of pressure and then, you know, kind of rallied late. I think to me, that looked like the end of the last week, Friday's rally, just kind of looked like really more of a, just like a short covering going into the weekend kind of rally. And looks like they want to all kind of work their way lower. What are your thoughts?
You know, at this point, cattle and hog markets are, frankly, they're a little bit confusing to me. I'm trying to figure out, is this a – I'm a little more bullish. You know, that I think, you know, we get a little bit more of a pullback, and I'd be an interested buyer in both and even amounts. And by doing that, I use that cow ETF. It's illiquid, but it's enough that I can use it. But I would say I'm modestly bullish of those two markets. But it's not, you know, it's not like a trade I feel compelled I must do. It's just,
I'm bullish also, but I'm bullish like lower, like fat cattle or live cattle is trading at about 114. I'm bullish at like 108. I mean, I think it's got to come down. You know, I mean, I'm pretty bullish the agricultural space in general, but I'm looking for some pretty significant selling before I'd become bullish. And we've got a few seconds left here, but any thoughts on gold as it continues to hold at 1225 and try to push higher?
Gold's really weird. Gold looks like the gold has a little more upside. I'm looking at say 1250, 1270 is where the 200-day moving average is. It could get that high. Then I think it's going to run into trouble. What's strange is the commercials actually covered more of their short positions last week, but they increased their shorts in silver. So the whole complex is a little bit screwy right now. They're heavily short silver and very light short golds, which is bullish gold and bearish silver. So it's an odd setup.
The words according to Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, thanks for coming on today, man.
Oh, it's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. In the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day. And until tomorrow, everybody enjoy the rest of President's Day. We'll see you back here on Tuesday. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.